You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
We will start with Milford Bateman, who is an independent researcher at the University of Juraj Dobrila Pula in Croatia. And he will talk on the topic of rebuilding solidarity-driven local economies in the aftermath of neoliberalism. We were talking a lot about neoliberalism this morning. And he's going to speak specifically on the role of cooperative enterprise development. Milford Bateman, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I want to talk a little bit about cooperatives and try to give a practical application, because I think we all agree that cooperatives are very important to most conceptions of the solidarity social economy model. But the key question, as far as I'm concerned, is, okay, that's the case, but how do we actually support cooperatives into operation? And once they're in operation, how do we actually help them to keep going? Otherwise, we end up with just a lot of talk about we need cooperatives, but we don't actually have the institutions to support them. So I think we all agree that cooperatives are very good, and we can find all sorts of benefits from them. But the cooperative movement, its own institutions are not always strong enough really to bring around the sort of fundamental transition that I think most of us here would want. And the cooperative movement has also been historically quite suspicious of state promotion of cooperatives. So what tends to happen is that we have many great support for cooperatives, but no real practical institutional impetus behind them. But let's just step back a bit. When we look at conventional investor-driven SMEs, the actual dominant narrative is that they all receive an inordinate amount of support from the state, whether it's in the form of business support centres or supportive legislation or state financial support for R&D and all sorts of other things. In actual fact, the investor-driven sector receives an inordinate amount of state support to get it going. So, and it's overwhelmingly this state support is from the public sector. So if that's the case, then we need to think about the public sector support for cooperatives, and particularly through local development institutions. So local development institutions, and particularly through what I've called, or what's been called, the local developmental state model. Now, many of you will be aware of what's called the developmental state model, associated with people like Hajun Chang and Robert Wade and Alice Amsden, that this was behind the wealth generation of the Western countries and more recently the East Asian countries. And I'm saying that this sort of mechanism exists at the local level, can exist and should exist at the local level. We have many good examples of this. However, these local institutions, local development institutions in the 1980s and 90s were, infected by the neoliberal virus. And the idea at the time was that they had to be financially self-sustaining and simply working with private businesses. And all over the world, this particular neoliberalized model of a local development institution didn't work, even though it became the standard operating methodology for local development institutions. It basically proved to be a disaster for many reasons, that when you introduce profit into development, you inevitably lose sight of the original mandate. There's no real additionality if you ask local development institutions to bid for contracts against NGOs and private consultancies and universities. There's no actual additionality from supporting these institutions. And there are many other reasons why these are bad. However, they were tried out in Eastern Europe and they basically all failed. The Western Balkans, out of about 100, there's about three left over. And the reason I'm quite passionate about it is I did a study for UNDP here in Geneva, and I found out that it wasn't working in Latin America either, even though most of the people in UNDP had written effusively about how it was transforming Latin America. I actually found it was pretty much a disaster, and particularly in the one country that had been held up as the best practice, Colombia. So with that in mind, the idea of attaching the local development institutions to cooperative development, I think, has a lot of mileage. We need to provide the support at the local level for new startup cooperatives, a concerted array of local support, and the ongoing support to cooperatives once they get going and once they reach break-even point and once they have all sorts of other problems with them. So I think there's an awful lot of mileage to be gained enthusiastically embracing local government support for the cooperative development concept. My final slide is really that when I actually went to Latin America, I found so many examples. And going back to some of the earlier presentations about the way that things are changing in Latin America, I found so many examples where local governments in Latin America have been given the resources and the empowerment to actually put into practice what I've called the local developmental state approach. And they're coming up with some really good results so far. I looked at Colombia in particular. I was looking at the city of Medellin doing all sorts of exciting things, not necessarily with the approval of the Colombian government, central government, but they are doing things on their own. Very much so in Ecuador. A lot of local governments are doing exciting things, creating cooperatives and linking farmers to markets. And they're not ashamed to say that they're willing to support farmers, but genuinely support, and not simply about sort of the old communist style in Eastern Europe of actually creating state cooperatives, though this is not that. We also found in Bolivia very exciting examples. And most recently, I was in Cuba, and the Cubans' reform strategy is very much around transforming the state-owned small and medium enterprises into workers' cooperatives, with an idea that this is a way of developing the cooperative sector, in a sense, from what they've got left over. It also helps that people coming over from Miami won't be able to buy up the entire economy. So that also helps them. So I think what my final slide would be, what can we learn from the post-neoliberal? I think there is some continuation of the neoliberal agenda, but I think we are starting to move into the post-neoliberal agenda, at least for policymaking, if not for so much practice. I think we have to learn from the European, Asian, and the latest Latin American successes, and also the failures, because not all cooperative building experiments have been a success there, but we can also learn valuable lessons from that. And I thought, what my next point would be a little bit pushing it quite far, but I also think that when we work at the local level, because we understand that cooperative businesses are so much better in many economic, social, cultural, political ways than conventional enterprise-driven enterprise models, investor-driven enterprise models, that maybe we really need to give priority to cooperative development at the local level. I know entrepreneurs will say, well, no, we demand to have the freedom to have first call over public resources, but maybe we should turn the equation on its head and say, if public resources are going to be used for enterprise development, which we agree is the case, then maybe the first point of call really should be cooperative enterprises. We should really make a point of prioritizing those. But to do that, I think we need to establish competent, proactive, transparent local economic development institutions, not the old neoliberalized versions where they were basically private businesses and they had all sorts of problems, but businesses whose mandate is development. And let's judge them on that case. And the finance to support these, because it was always the issue of finance that the World Bank and European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, all the others, didn't like. We should treat that not as subsidies, but as investment in development, that we are investing to create local economic development. We don't necessarily think it's something that we can do on the cheap, if you like, or some market magic model through a neoliberalized, a for-profit business development centre. So I think my final word would be that the solidarity economy is a really exciting proposal after having living in Eastern Europe and seeing the collapse of communism and having lived through the collapse of neoliberalism. It's about time we moved on to some sort of synthesis between the two, not a third way Tony Blair, David Cameron type sort of problem, but a real third way where we start to build up a genuine cooperative sector from the bottom up through the right type of institutional support. So I ran through that very quickly. I think I was just within time. Thanks very much.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unrhys.org. Thank you for listening.